Recovery 101. Guaranteed so much fun. From the Tombstone Studio, two gals and a crazy bro. Listen, download, and play again. Share the show with all your friends. No need to be feeling blue. The mandate here is Rule 62. Laugh along with the boozy news. The news that's not fit for booze. So come on and join the fun. From Tombstone, Arizona, ladies and gentlemen, it's Recovery 101.
Thank you to Monty Man for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for any 12-step organization. The views and opinions are ours and ours alone. We don't speak for AA, NA, OA, CA, GA, PA, SLA, SLA, ACRR, MMD, or AHA, FA, or any of them, their guys. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly
and Tara.
Awesome. So, we're doing a bunch of shows today. So, what's new, Shelly, besides the other thing? I don't know if you ever gave the update on your tremendous theater career in Tombstone.
Well, the run went very well. We actually broke attendance records for the theater company.
Every single day, right?
Yes. And we're all looking forward with eager anticipation to the spring show.
Is it going to be... When are you guys going to do Cowboys and Aliens?
We're not.
Wyatt Earp and Aliens?
No.
Wyatt Earp and Cowboys?
Possibly, I don't know.
It seems to always be Wyatt Earp and somebody.
It's not necessarily Wyatt Earp. I mean, the first show we saw there didn't have Wyatt Earp in it. It just, all of the shows that are done by the Tombstone Rep have to have, the play has to center around either something historical in Tombstone or has to have Tombstone as the setting or something like that. It has to be in some way related to the town.
Yeah. Hence Sherlock Holmes and Tombstone.
Exactly.
So... Hence, what's Dracula and Tombstone maybe coming?
Yes, the fanged one may be coming to Tombstone next October.
Oh, and you know what? Oh my God, Doc Holliday is a dentist.
He is. I got to tell Ken that because that's a good tie-in.
Well, I'm sure he knows that.
He may not have made that connection.
I did. It's kind of like when we go to church.
Yeah, but you're special.
I make a connection every time.
Yes, every time. And last Sunday, after the service, because Butch was part of what he was talking about in his sermon was something that Paul said in one of his letters to the Ephesians, which is when you're looking through the eyes of faith, the eyes of your heart, which reminded me of the Jimmy Buffett song, On the Knees of My Heart, when he was trying to propose to a girl in the song. So I had that song in my head, and I told Butch after the service, and Butch said, "Oh, you're just filling in for Bruce."
So what was the thing? What did the Ephesians thing actually say?
No, it was a letter from Paul, and he was discussing how to look at things with the eyes of faith or the eyes of your heart, which reminded, I just told you all of this.
Was he the owner of a lonely heart?
That doesn't even make sense because
was he eyes without a face?
That doesn't even make sense. Those two things don't go together. Okay, move along.
Eyes without a face.
Stop, Bruce.
Owner of a lonely heart. All right. So Sarah. Oh my God. We used to have a girl that came to every show, and her name was Sarah. She came for. God, a long time. And then she took
getting
off.
Getting old, Bruce.
She
you're
took off
old.
To become a Mormon. And you're so Mormon-like, you know, you're just... And she was Asian, so you could see how I could screw this all up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're an Asian Mormon.
With a, yeah, that doesn't have a foul mouth.
She...
She
could get a little ripe with her language there.
She did a thing one time where we were doing we did a show called The Best of the Boozy News.
Okay.
She literally went through every show and found the exact boozy news segments that should be. I mean, probably did hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of work finding what she thought were the best ones.
Wow.
Christine Brinkley.
Yeah.
Did you ever tell Tara about Christine Brinkley?
I don't know.
No.
What? Christine Brinkley? There's a man who went to the vet because he felt that his dog didn't feel well. She's not responding as well as she used to
We
have sex.
This one.
She just doesn't seem to want it anymore. And the vet called the cops.
When we have sex.
And the dog.
The dog didn't seem to enjoy sex. The guy's like, well, maybe it's the stud service. And he goes, no, when we're having sex.
Gross.
Yeah, right? Dogs and socks. You know what that means. Oh, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. That wasn't even that great. Wow. Okay. Oh, so shout outs to all the.
Should have gone higher with my dudes.
Shout outs to all the.
Not practice.
You dudes riding high?
Yeah.
Shout out to all the normal people. What was that?
Oh, that was the regs.
From the keyboard. Shout outs to Deborah, Stephen, Dakota, Dan, Stryker, Alexandra, Jane, Lynn, Lori, Faith, Sally, Natalie, John, Carol, Georgette, Jack, Corrine, Bill, Fran, James, Johnny, Alan, Damon, Lee, Roger, Randy, David, Shredder, Terry, Rhonda, William, Greg, Mark, Fausto, Brenda, Mike, Tawana, Ken, Clint, Megan, Bill K, Joe B, Los Encinas Hospital, Impact House, Jeremy and Tara, and Marty and Dorothy and Sarah, who we haven't seen nor heard from in a very long time. That'd be kind of be funny if she was listening, though, and then wrote in and said, I heard it.
It would.
I heard it. So, this was sent in by Bill P. This story is not just scary. It is uber scary. So, a ride-sharing service driver. This is in White Plains, New York.
I knew this had to do with a pun.
Ride-sharing service driver has been accused of not only charging people the wrong amount on things, overcharging, but kidnapping a passenger.
Shut up. I've been waiting.
This guy, Jeffrey S. Berman. Oh, no. Jeffrey S. Berman's the U.S. attorney. Said that Habir Karmar. Imagine that. Habir Karmar. Parmar. Of Howard Beach, Queens County, was charged with kidnapping and wire fraud. So he was hired to transport a woman from Manhattan to her home in White Plains. Apparently, she didn't get there. He kidnapped her, terrorized, and assaulted her before dumping her on the side of the interstate.
Damn.
Now, she's kind of lucky she got dumped on the side of the interstate.
Yeah.
At least alive.
Alive, exactly.
And, you know, Berman said no one should have to be afraid, you know, hiring a car service. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this the other day with things like Uber. So what do they always tell you when you're a kid? Never get in a car with someone you don't know.
Yeah.
Never take a ride from a stranger. And now people are literally calling strangers to come and give them a ride.
I mean, it definitely makes me hesitant. I've never done it without Jeremy with me.
We have a friend named London. And London, she was Ubering for quite a while. And like
driving or?
Yeah, like being a driver. Okay. And she was like she'd pick up people late at night, drunk guys and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, but she didn't. She stopped doing the guy thing pretty quickly. When she started, she was just picking up whoever during her hours. But then she changed her thing. She would only pick up women.
Okay.
Of course, she had lesbian tendencies, so hey. Hi.
What? Give me this.
He's a creep.
You can make anything sound raunchy. anything.
True. I mean, I'm pretty bad about it too.
And you mock me for calling you Captain Inappropriate, but you totally are. I mean, like, literally you are. Anything.
It's pretty bad.
I don't mock you in a mean way. I think it's completely clear that
that's
I'm
kind of the connotation of the word mocking is way.
I'm encouraging you. You think it's mocking, but it's really encouragement. Okay, so anyway,
you sound like my dad.
That guy.
Issues.
Well, and that same guy. The weird thing is in this story is, like, one of the other things is that the person fell asleep in his car and he changed the destination so that when he got there, it could charge him more. And I'm like, I don't think compared to the kidnapping charge, I don't think the overcharging people for their Uber ride is really a big thing. But, you know. Oh.
I mean, whatever they can slap
him with, I guess when this victim woke up, though, the vehicle was on the side of the road and Parma was in the back seat with her, with his hand under her shirt.
Oh, hell no.
But when she woke up, he got back in the driver's seat and continued driving. The woman requested she be taken to the police station. He said no, but he dropped her off. Okay, so.
Well, there's that.
Tonight we're going to party like it's 1912. Phoenix.
This is the Arizona became a state.
So this is from yesterday. Well, it won't be yesterday by the time this show goes up, but it was from yesterday. 106-year-old Arizona woman was treated to a surprise birthday party at her favorite restaurant.
Why is this news?
Taco Bell. She's been alive since 1912, and her favorite restaurant is Taco Bell. So Mirtis Jewel Painter was treated to a party with family and friends.
What's the world
at Taco Bell because she's a regular. The guy that owns the Taco Bell franchise said he wanted to honor her. She's been coming there for a long time, and she's 106. And so they say, who wants to come to Taco Bell and hang out with her? And they put it out on the radio, and like a zillion people showed up.
Wow.
She had a taco and an enchilada for her birthday meal. And she goes, I think it's a really great place to eat. She was born in East Texas in 1912, but moved to Phoenix in 1932. On the same subject, a Florida guy for his 100th birthday went to Chick-fil-A. And he gets free Chick-fil-A anytime he wants for the rest of his life.
Wow, right on. I don't even like Chick-fil-A.
Where is this Taco Bell that has enchiladas? Taco Bell doesn't have enchiladas. They have enchiritos.
Phoenix,
he says. Yes, okay, well, all right, well. Okay, I find that vaguely disturbing.
Oh, you're not going to find that nearly as disturbing as the next story.
No, I mean,
oh,
okay.
Here we go.
She's 106 years old. Her favorite restaurant is Taco Bell, which what that says to me is that nobody in her family ever treated her to a decent meal out, and that's pretty disturbing.
That's pretty, yeah, it's pretty sad.
But not as disturbing as this one.
What?
So this is in Uck in the UK. So a British model turns pieces of her labia into designer jewelry.
Oh, I heard about that. That's old.
It can't be that old. It said November.
Wait.
Labia.
Labia, Caribbean, Caribbean. Potato, potato. Let's call the whole thing off.
Okay, bye.
So, she's a British mom named Tracy Kiss. She underwent a labiaplasty, in part to remove a cyst that doctors said was caused by friction in the area. The fact that she's going to use a piece of labia with the cyst on it and turn it into jewelry is even worse. She's 28 years old. She blogged about her experience in a very, very, very elaborate, detailed personal blog. But she's adding another wrinkle to the story. Turns out she saved some of the parts.
Another wrinkle, sorry.
And turned them into a one-of-a-kind choker. She make the labia heirloom as a trophy for overcoming the pain the experience caused her. Ooh, I have my old breast implants too, she said.
Ew. Ooh.
Now, here's the problem.
The hell?
So the skin around Kiss's sex organ had turned gray from the surgical fluid. So, oh, no, there's a video about this. I watched the video. It was really disturbingly disgusting.
She nasty.
Because it's the skin is, like, gray, and she is, like, putting, like, some glue on it and then, like...
Glitter.
Sticking glitter. Are you looking at it?
No,
oh, I
did
thought
before.
Maybe you were looking. Yeah, glitter and other... she finished the choker a month ago and currently wears it around her neck with pride. I'm glad she wasn't selling it because that would be disgusting. That would be even worse.
She must know my mother.
What?
Because when we were growing up, our Christmas tree was festooned with things like our retainers.
What?
Any bits or parts that fell off, my mom would stick a string on it and put it on the Christmas tree. When Connor was born and, you know, the umbilical cord bit fell off of his belly, she asked me if I strung it for the Christmas tree. I'm like, Mom, that is so disgusting. Why would you? And when I had my gallbladder out,
that's so weird.
She wanted to know if we could save a slice of it for the, and I'm like, no, that's just gross. Mom, you gotta
stop.
That
is so weird.
Jill, I love you, but there's something wrong with you. I mean, really. And it says that she's no stranger to using body parts or fluids for fashion statements. She went viral for a video extolling the supposed benefits of sperm facials.
Hello.
Have any problem with that?
I can get behind it. I mean, wait.
So, okay. So I found this one. Oh, this is a kind of interesting. So this is in South Brunswick. So let me start where this is. So this guy calls 911 says, we just had a package. I'm not making this up. Parachute onto my site, a caller is heard saying in a recording. It's a white styrofoam package. It's making a weird noise. It says on it, NASA Atmospheric Research Instrument, not a bomb. If found, please call, and then it's got a number. If this lands near the president, we at NASA wish him a great round of golf. Not reassured by the message on it, the guy calls the cops. Of course, the cops descend on this place with bomb control and just a billion people. It is a NASA weather measuring device.
Wow.
And because this area has a number of golf courses, they wrote on one of the things that if this landed on a golf course to tell the president to have a good game. But so nobody's in trouble for it or anything, but it was just the guy's like, you know, a thing parachuted on our property that said, don't worry, this is not a bomb.
Right.
Which makes him think it's a bomb.
It's a bomb.
And
I was thinking drugs, I swear.
Well, and the thing is, they do it in this area all the time. It's their atmospheric study balloons. And like on that day, they launched six of them. And two of them have already been recovered, including the one found. And there was another one found really close to Donald Trump's golf club.
Okay.
So there you go. So that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Much better.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Okay, Tara, we have a topic.
Yeah, we have a topic. Okay, so are we doing the plant animal sex thing?
I thought we were doing the ego thing.
Oh, okay.
Save all right. The other one.
Okay, save the other one. Okay, so I was thinking about like the difference between having an ego and just being confident in yourself. And I see people that are full of ego, like full of bravado. You know, it's all just false confidence. And then I see people that are confident and humble and just secure in who they are, and that's who I want to be, because I know that whenever I first came into the rooms, I was completely deflated, So like I could pick what I wanted to do with my recovery and who I wanted to be. So what do you guys think?
I think that, well, because we are, most alcoholics and addicts are a strange mix of totally lacking in self-esteem and full of self-loathing and thinking we're better than everybody else in the room. So we start with that. But I think that when I see people in the rooms like that and what I personally am going for, the difference to me is when you see somebody who is confident of their own abilities and speaks well of themselves, but simultaneously speaks well of others and lifts them up as well.
Yeah.
That's actual confidence. Bravado is when they constantly are just talking about themselves.
Right.
And if the opportunity arises, talking smack about other people in a public setting. Because honestly, I can't control my thoughts and sometimes I think not so nice things about people. The difference is I try not to say them. You know, especially people in car dealerships.
So what do you consider a public setting?
Well, like in a meeting. If we go to a meeting and you're, you know, before or after the meeting and you're all sitting around talking, you know, not in confidence with like one or two friends. I'm talking about like public as in like you're spreading malicious gossip.
Not like us out on the patio a few minutes ago.
Well, I was trying to be kind to you guys, you know, because I was trying not to be.
Wait. Kind to us?
So that, yes.
You were referring to another person that is not one of us three.
We were referring to another person. Don't throw her under the bus, okay?
Yes, I'm trying not to throw you guys under the bus.
We were both referring to someone.
I was trying not to throw you guys out of the bus because I know the person that was being spoken about. Yeah. All I can say is he got my fat out of the fire one day, so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so I was happy about that.
Well, and here's the other thing, too, because I think that probably there's different kinds of people, because there will be some people that have that quiet self-confidence, like what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Then there's people that are egotistical also because they have confidence. They're just not what you would call quiet confidence. They're like overt, loud confidence. Then you have the people that have ego who really don't have anything, because people that are confident usually have a reason why they're confident.
Right.
They have a backup. But then there's a lot of people with big egos that have nothing backing it up at all.
And those are the people that I'm referring to. Like, yes. That's my distinction in the difference between ego and self-confidence. Like, you are a self-confident person. You're confident
pretty
in yourself.
Much.
Yeah. You're cool. You can talk to anybody. Like, you'll just have a conversation with anyone. And my perception of you is that you're just not self-conscious, you know.
Well, and I'm always right, too.
Well, you know.
Shelly's like,
oh, I know, I'm over here, please. Shelly's like, quit building them up, man. But then I see other people, like this person that we were referring to, and what I see of that person is that, like, every time I hear him comment, he's condescending, and he acts like he is superior to everyone and like he knows recovery and how we should be talking in meetings better than everyone else. And that's the kind of stuff that I don't like. I mean, if you're confident, then that's awesome. Like, I want you to be confident. I think that we should all love ourselves that much. But to act like you have an air of superiority almost every time that you talk at a meeting,
there's a lot
is
of
just
people,
really rude.
There's a lot of people with time that are like that.
Oh, and that's the other thing. He's always like, oh, I have 22 years. I've been 22 years.
There was a guy.
Like, nobody cares because all you have is today, just like everybody else.
There,
so
there
quit
was
trying
a guy,
to act like you're cool. You're
there
still
was
a drunk.
Guy who I needn't mention. You and I have talked about him before.
Yeah.
And
they're friends.
I don't even remember. I don't even remember what the thing was. But he said something. He looked at me and he's like, well, you know, and I just took a cake for 27. Like, anybody that has to tell you, like, I would tell
yes.
you it, because it's my birthday, I
right,
would tell you
right.
how much time I have. But other
right.
than that, I don't just go flopping at her. Matter
no.
of fact, the last time someone asked me how much time I had, I gave them the wrong amount and Shelly had to correct me.
Yeah.
Because I was just, it just isn't like that.
It doesn't
that much a thing.
Matter.
But this one guy's like, well, you know, I have 27 years. And I'm like, oh. Yeah, I got 28. And he was like, oh. You know, because it's like he was going to bravado his way right through something.
Right.
Yeah, but you did that just to pop his balloon.
Well, of course I did. Because I wouldn't normally ever mention that to anybody. Normally what I tell people is, what time did you get up today? And they go, I got up at 5 o'clock. I'm like, you got way more time than me.
I heard that, yeah, this guy that I work with, he was talking about that. He said there's some guy that he knows that says the early bird gets the worm. And, you know, he'll be like, so what time did you get up today? Oh, you got up at 6? Well, I got up at 7. So, you know, you've got more recovery than I do today. And right. I really like that because we really are supposed to keep it just in today.
Right, right. What do you think about that, Sean?
I think that perhaps we need to start passing around the Humble Trophy again.
It's right there.
I know.
Because oh, gosh.
It is. It's all well and good for all of us to sit here and say, well, that person is rude because he does this, and I don't like the way that person does that thing. And, you know, we've all done that.
I haven't.
At the same time, if we think that we, because we like this way of doing it, are doing it better, we're doing the exact same thing, only in the opposite direction. It is extremely hard to be a humble person. I mean, really, 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 because the minute you think you're being humble, you're not. Because if you think you're humble, you're not humble.
Right.
It's not that. Ever something that you can achieve within yourself. Somebody else can say, like, I can look at the Dalai Lama and say he's a humble man, but he would never say that because he's humble. He will constantly, you know, point out his struggles and how he's working toward overcoming them in a cosmic sense, that kind of thing.
Right.
But he wouldn't say that he is working toward humility or being humble or anything like that. It's kind of like looking at diamonds in water. It's really hard to see and hard to grasp. And somebody else has to show you.
I mean, I feel like it's okay to like work toward being humble. Like to say, I agree, to say that I'm humble is not, that's not something that I can say that I am, you know, like I'm, self-confidence is definitely something that I've worked on like really, really hard because of stuff that happened in my past, you know, but like just to be overtly boastful all the time is the only thing that I just don't care for. And that was specifically what I was referring to.
Dalai Lama joke. I have a Dalai Lama joke. I saw this on YouTube. This guy was literally telling a joke to the Dalai Lama. And he goes, I'm going to try a joke with you. And the guy's translating it for him. And he's like, okay. And he goes, you walk into a pizza parlor. Or no, he says, you own a pizza parlor to the Dalai Lama. And the Dalai Lama's like, what? Okay. I own a pizza. And a guy comes in and looks at you and says, I need a pizza. And the Dalai Lama's like, yes. And he goes, and he says, make me one with everything. And the Dalai Lama is sitting there, and he's like, make me one with everything. Make me one with everything. And the guy's like, make me one with everything. And the Dalai Lama never got the joke. And the guy's like, oh my God, I died. I died in front of the Dalai Lama. And Dalai Lama didn't find it funny at all. I thought it was quite humorous. Make me one with everything.
Yes, we get it. You think that's funny. Jared and I are not over here laughing. I would
don't
never...
For taste.
I would never say that I was a humble person because I don't believe I am. Because there are days when I think I am all that in a bag of chips. And there are days when I think I'm a piece of crap. Yesterday was piece of crap day. Today has yet to be determined. I understand what you mean about the boastful thing. It's a weird it's hard to find that balance because on the one hand, we're told to be confident and happy about our achievements.
Right.
And to go ahead, toot your own horn because nobody else is going to, right? So we're told that. And on the other hand, we're told, you know, don't put yourself forward. So, you know, have a servant's heart. Don't put yourself forward, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so where is the medium in there? How?
Okay, so I think that what it comes down to is... it's okay to be proud of your accomplishments, you know, but don't go swinging around your 22 years of recovery penis all over everybody's face at every meeting. That's Shelly's about to die, choking on her crunchy ice.
You call me Captain Inappropriate? You go, that's, go swing
I mean, that's what it feels
20,
like. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's like smacking their dick in your face. You're like,
face.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Yes, you said it three times. Just this comment that you've got 22 years. We get it, dude. Thanks. That's what I'm talking
about. Sorry. It's the mental picture.
I mean, I really hope he doesn't smack me with his dick, because I'd be real pissed. I have a husband who'd be pretty mad, too.
Yeah,
but
you think?
But you know what I'm saying, though? Like, there's a difference between, like, being confident and being, like, proud of your accomplishments and having to freaking tell everybody about it all the time. It's like, you're not that great. You're still just a drunk.
I had a guy one time. We were sitting in front of Starbucks one time, and we were talking with our friends, and this guy doesn't normally come, isn't normally involved with our group, but he happened to be at Starbucks that day, and he happened to walk up, and I was telling someone that I had been going to this one club for, you know, like at the time, like 26 years or something, and never once had I spoke at a meeting at this club. I said, I've spoken, I go, it's really weird, I've spoken all kinds of places. I'd spoken 100 times, you know, and all the way from like San Diego to up in the mountains to out in Palm Desert or Palm, well, yeah, Palm Desert too, Palm Springs. And so this guy is standing there. He goes, hey, you want to speak at my meeting? And you remember this, Shelly? You want to speak at my meeting? And I said, oh, sure. I go, yeah, that'd be cool. I've never spoken there. He goes, yeah, okay. Then, Shelly, what did, because I wasn't part of this conversation, but you said that you spoke to him about it. And he's kind of one of these people that will kind of flout about that he's got time in the program and
he's on television.
Like he's, yeah, like he's all that.
Well, he was also on a television show, and that comes up in every other sentence.
Oh, God.
No, what he told me was, because he canceled your speaking engagement in favor of someone else in recovery that's also from a TV show, somebody that he knew, who, by the way, never showed up.
Yeah.
And he also told me that he really didn't feel comfortable booking Bruce to speak because Bruce is on a podcast, and he thought that Bruce was throwing himself out there in public in recovery and promoting himself, and we're not supposed to promote ourselves, which is a pile of crap, because never once has Bruce, it is not Bruce B and the Recovery 101 podcast. It's never been like that.
Right.
It's always, the only reason why you might think that it's his podcast is because he's only, the entire history of the podcast, he's the only original caster left on the show. And he's always been. He was making it sound like it was Bruce's show and Bruce was promoting himself for money.
Well, and he also said that because I went to him and asked him to speak. Right?
But he didn't. But you didn't.
I know.
I was there when he asked you to speak. But he, you know, he completely morphed this thing in his head into something that it wasn't at all. And then because he wanted to look like he was all that in a bag of chips by booking this celebrity to speak, and oh, look at me, I'm so famous because I know famous people, and he screwed up, he had to put you down.
And the funny thing is, the guy that he booked to speak, I really wanted to hear this guy speak.
Yeah, so we went.
I go over there. The guy doesn't show up. And even though I'm there, I'm the guy that got bumped. He asked this other guy to speak. And the other guy, the guy's message was fine, but he was one of those guys that had a great, great message, but not no good delivery.
Okay.
And it was so...
That's something I've had to learn, is
it was
the art
so
of delivery.
Tedious, it was so tediously... like monotone to listen to this guy, that this dude was actually literally playing Angry Birds on his phone the entire time the guy was speaking. And I'm like, so I got bumped because I asked to speak, which I never did. He asked me, and then I'm like, and then the guy that he asked didn't show up. So he kind of looked like a schlub to everybody there, because this place was packed. Jeremy's actually been to this place.
Okay.
And so many people showed up. It was standing room only, and people were standing around the room all the way up till the moment they found out this guy wasn't going to be there.
Was this a place over at...
At the 502 Club in Covina.
No, okay,
San Gabriel Valley Alano Club.
No.
Yeah, Jeremy was like, wow, that's a big place.
I was thinking about some place in Santa Monica.
Oh, no. This place, you're thinking of probably Claire Foundation.
I don't know. It's in like a park or something.
Yeah, it's like...
It's at a park, and it's like in this big... like a meeting room or something.
Yeah.
Like
Claire Foundation is right next. Claire Foundation is right next to this, and it's right next to the beach too. The beach is right there. There's a park right there.
Yeah, like a dog park.
And that's a pretty big place too. But probably not as big as the big room at the Alano Club. But it was like there was like you could probably seat 120 to 150 people in that room. But there was, you know, people standing literally around. And there was probably another, I don't know, 75 people in the parking lot, like,
oh my
gosh,
by
the doors trying to listen and everything. And when the guy didn't show up, yeah, people were kind of upset.
I bet.
But you know, it was like one of those things. It's kind of like, the only time I ever heard a guy say how much time he had when he was speaking was I didn't have any problem with it because this guy goes, I have whatever it was. The guy's like, I have 13,322 days. And so he starts speaking. And as he gets part of the way into his thing, he goes, okay, for those of you that are still fixated trying to figure out how long that is, here's the amount of time. He goes, I do that for a reason. He goes, because I really want you to try and listen to the feelings being shared rather than trying to figure out the specifics of things. He goes, so I gave you this real specific to see how many people would sit there and try and figure out what that was. He goes, you probably didn't hear the stuff I said between then and what I'm saying right now. And he goes, it's really important stuff to my story.
Yeah.
He goes, so I'm going to repeat it. And then he goes and he does his three minutes again. And I was like, oh. So, Tara, what would your final words on ego versus confidence be?
I guess in my opinion, it's cool to be confident, like super cool to be confident and happy with yourself, you know, comfortable in your own skin. Just don't go swinging your sobriety dick in people's faces.
You're holding that mic close, Shelly.
Shelly's about to die again. I thought we were going to lose her for a minute.
Okay. Oh, is it my turn now?
Yeah. You look like you're
going to throw that mic. Sorry. Yeah, just... Okay. What am I doing? Oh, final words. I'm just obsessed with this mental image of this guy in a room swinging his dick around.
His big clock?
Yes. He's trying to hit us with his big clock. I think that when I achieve contentment on a daily basis and I no longer feel uncomfortable in my skin ever, I think that then I not achieved humbleness or humility or anything like that, but that I'll be able to feel confident. You know, my brain is too schizophrenic right now, not literally, but you know, I'm too all over the place for me to really feel confident in that way.
You know what? My final words are, I think confidence is great if you have it. And if you don't have it, you probably will have it at some point. I think of all the times I've heard someone that's like, you know, I can't speak, you know, I can't be a leader because I can't speak for 5 minutes. And then later on in their recovery, they're the guy that says, you know, I can't really fill this time, and then they go over by 40 minutes, you know. And but I think that when we get here, a lot of us are beat down, and people with egos then have a bravado, and some of those people carry it through for a long time. And then there's those people that don't have any bravado at all, and they're just confident and they don't have any bravado. So bravo to them. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
Take care of you.
And if you keep doing what you've always done, you'll continue to get what you've always had.
Sweet.
inject me with your heroin lies. You whisper promise of a sweet surprise. By your caramel eyes, so sublime your bedroom butterfly.
Kitchen.